Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I wanted to share about how amazing God is. I mean, we do this all the time. I think we'll continue to do this for eternity, Pat. But we're talking about a debt-canceling God and a debt-canceling miracle. I mean, when you think about our nation, I mean, our nation's budget alone, $17 trillion, so they're saying. I mean, the International Monetary Fund of debt.
What they say.
Yeah, what they say. But the International Monetary Fund says that really the debt's more like $200 trillion,
right.
you know. So America, as a government, is in a lot of debt. But a lot of Americans and many in the church are in debt. And, you know, the way the system is set up now, I mean, you just – on average or as a whole, most people don't go in and just buy a car cash. You don't go in and buy a house cash. You finance it, which means that it's a debt. It's something that you owe. And one of the reasons you know it's a debt, because if you stop paying on your car or your house, you really find out who owns it. Yeah, you're borrowing it from them.
Knock on the door.
Yeah. Or you just see the tires go, bye-bye. You just say bye-bye.
I thought I parked my car there.
But we see in 2 Kings a story about a widow. And oftentimes we may be going through a situation. You may be going through a situation today, and maybe you're crumbling under some debt, or you feel some pressure of finances these days. And, you know, as it has been since 2007, I mean, the whole nation's experiencing a financial crisis. Mm-hmm. Really, the entire world is. I mean, you have different countries like Cyprus and Spain. Argentina right now in the news is saying that a major court case came out and saying that they're going to have to pay their debt. And it's billions and billions of dollars. And they've been just trying to, you know, restructure this thing. And there was a major ruling that could really have impact for sure in Argentina. But all the economies of the world are kind of interconnected. And you have your own personal economy. You know, everyone mm-hmm. has their own personal economy. And we have to see, you know, where are we?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways, you know, that a Christian can be blessed always is with an obedient life. God blesses an obedient life. But also, you know, you need to honor God. You know, you need to honor God with your tithes and with your offerings. And you can't have any reasonable expectation of living a blessed life if you're sticking God up. I mean, if you're robbing God, I mean, mm-hmm. that's not a fair, you know, really, you know, expectation for you to have, because you can repent, you can ask God to forgive you, and you can begin to start doing the right thing. But how can we before God ask him to bless us or with more or decrease any kind of debt in our life if we haven't first put him first and honored him with what truly belongs to him?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea really is that it all belongs to God. He just entrusts us with whatever we have. And it's just a tenth that he set up, a tithe. I mean, you're not limited to that. If God moves on your heart for you to give more, by all means, give more. Of course, there's offerings that you can always give as well. But, you know, we've been praying. I've been praying for a grace for giving. That's what the letter to the Corinthians, Paul prayed. There's a grace in giving. There's a supernatural enablement to give beyond, like the Macedonians had. Mm-hmm. They gave beyond their ability to give. That means they had an ability, but they pressed past that. And mm-hmm. I love that, you know, to let that be known of us, to walk like God and be givers. And I think we need to pray that over the entire church, givers and obedient givers, right? Well, in this account, in 2 Kings 4, we find out about a widow. And she was the wife of a man who was a part of the company of prophets. And she cried out to Elisha, and she says, hey, listen, your servant, he's dead. You know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as slaves. And so in the first verse, you find out, man, here's this man who revered God, loved, feared God. He was a part of the company of prophets. He was in ministry. He was a servant of Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dead. He's dead. And the wife now is concerned that, oh, we also find out that he had debt. You know, mm-hmm. he had debt, and his debt didn't go away when he died.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a time where, you know, you can be in, there's debt prisons. You know, they were actually coming to take away the two sons to make sure that this debt was taken care of. And so here's this wife now, this widow, who not only lost her husband, but we can say that she lost her provision.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's about to lose maybe possibly her future provision because the two sons are away. They've been taken away. And so Elijah says to her, okay, he says, well, how can I help you? You know, how can I help you? And he says, you know, what do you have in your house? And so she says, I just have this little bit of oil. I just have all I have is except this small little jar of olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
And so Elijah says, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. I understand that in order for this woman to be able to even explore this opportunity, right,
mm-hmm.
she had to have some favor with neighbors, somebody who lived a life that could be entrusted with knocking on the door of a neighbor and even asking for a jar. It's like, mm-hmm. I saw what you did. Do I even know you? You know, we have to have relationship. We need to be known for our life. The New Testament says that, listen, you know, a widow in your church, she needs to be of good standing. She needs to be faithful. She needs to be a part of the family, you know. So we have to live a good life. And so he says, go get these jars and then go ahead and pour into the jars, pour the oil you have into these jars and fill each one side by side. So she tells her two sons, go ahead and gather all these jars of oil. And they begin to gather all these jars. And Elijah tells her, not just a few, not just a few, implying get a whole bunch of these jars.
Mm-hmm.
So they get these jars, and the lady begins to fill them one by one. Now, all she had was a small little bit of oil in a jar,
mm-hmm.
and she begins to pour it out. And then she finally says, give me another one. And the son says, we're all out. Now, to me, that implies that she wasn't there counting, okay, we have 55 jars. I got this little bit of oil. That doesn't imply that to me. That implies that all she had was the jar and one more oil, you know, an empty jar and some oil. She could just get poured, just hand them to me. And when she went to reach for another one, she realized, hey, there's no more left. And then she begins to go to Elisha and says, basically, now what? I put the oil in the jar. And Elisha says, go ahead and sell those jars, pay off your debt, and the rest of that, whatever's left, go ahead and live on it. See, the woman experienced a debt-canceling miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that this whole thing started out quite differently than how it ended. Her husband is dead. He was a man of God who served Elisha, and her sons were being taken away as slaves. And we're not talking about, you know, you're owing a little bit of interest on a credit card here. Okay, we're talking about, this is serious business. Somebody up in this house is getting ready to leave.
Mm.
This is the real deal.
Yeah.
And she had no understanding of what she needed to do. Here's a clue. When you don't know what to do, seek the wisdom of God. And so she had enough inside of her to be able to ask Elijah, hey, Elijah, this is what's going on. What do I need to do? And the word of the Lord. See, God has an answer. He says, what do you have in your house? Interesting that the jar of oil always existed inside of her house,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't until it was revealed to Elijah, hey, go get that, you know, what do you have in there? So she gets the oil, she starts to pour it out, and I tend to think about this in our own personal lives. It's time for us to start looking and investigating, what do you have in your house? You're in debt today, what do you have in your house? Not just your physical house, but what do you have in your spiritual house?
Mm.
You see, in her physical house, she had oil, and all she had was a little bit in the natural. That's all she had. But in her spiritual house, she also had faith.
Mm.
She had faith. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about how she combined what she had in the natural with what she had in the spiritual And when she combined those two together and she operated on the word of the Lord, what miracle God performed for her. And listen, God's not a respecter of person. If he can do it for a widow who's about to lose two sons, believe me, he can do it for you. We're talking about a debt-canceling God and what God was able to do for a widow. A widow in the time where Elisha the prophet was ministering. I mean, think about it. Of all the people that could have done a miracle, I mean, Elisha, the spiritual son of Elijah, did twice as many miracles as his spiritual father. If there was ever a ministry that would say, hey, you know, can you just wave over here and cause a little bit of cash to come up here? Or could you do a little miracle over there and, you know, cancel that thing and just make it go away? But there was something about this miracle that God wanted to do, that he wanted the woman to participate. You see, God wants us to participate, to be involved. Yeah, God can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the miracle is the revelation, you know, because she needed to walk away with an understanding that this is what God can do for her and with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that she wasn't alone. And that it wasn't just about the man of God or the woman of God or the minister. It was about what God can do for this woman individually, and that she had something.
Mm-hmm.
She had something that if she combined what she had in the natural with what she had in the spiritual, it could produce a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And so Elisha asks the woman, what do you have in your house? What do you have? So many times when there is a lack in your life, where there is a debt, for instance, you're so tempted to look at the debt. You're so tempted to look at the problem, the monstrosity of it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you behold, whatever you put your mind and your heart on, begins to grow and becomes to manifest more in your life. That's what you're focusing on. That's what your faith is attaching onto. It could attach to what God can do, or it could attach to this monstrosity you think in your eyes, and it can grow. And so he says, get that little oil out. Go ahead and pour it into these jars. And I love this woman because, you know, how many times have you heard, you know, God give a word of knowledge and instruction, and it's like, well, did God really say that?
Right.
Or it's filtered through a natural mind. Listen, the things of God cannot be figured out through a natural mind. Mm. I have tried it once or twice to my shame. It has not worked well for me, believe me. I don't know if Steve and Pat have any personal testimonies, but I can tell you.
I'm a little bit more than two.
Can't recall.
He can't recall. Those that know personal experience, please share it with us, vfntv.com.
Yes.
We'd love to share Pat's. But listen, hey, you can't filter it. What God says in the spirit must be done in the spirit, and don't put your mind on it, and don't put your mouth on it.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't tell Elijah. Did you not hear me? Did you not hear that I said I just have a little bit of oil? What are you talking about? Go get jars.
Mm.
Don't you understand? I'm in debt. You know what I'm saying? I've got a problem here. She didn't say that. She said, okay. Okay. And it's interesting that once the last jar was filled, the oil stopped flowing.
Mm.
The oil stopped flowing. See, she had to participate. The woman not only had natural oil, right? But she also had faith, because she had to combine her faith. She had to listen to the word of the Lord and take action upon it, right? But the oil also represents the anointing in her life. You know, God has an anointing for you. You have an anointing on your life, maybe to do business or to work. There's a grace upon your life to do something, and God wants to. He's poured out a measure to all of us that know him. If you're a son and daughter of God, listen. Start employing the anointing. Start moving your faith. Start using the things that God has given you, and not start doing it in the natural, but start doing it in faith, mm-hmm. in the spiritual. And so do what God has told you to do. And so it's interesting that she didn't even know, like, what to do, because she had to say to Elijah, okay, I got these jars and oil. I don't know what we're going to do with them here, but He actually had to tell her the next step. Now go and sell them, pay off your debt. It was enough to take care of her debt. And you got to imagine that the debt had to be large enough. Because, I mean, if these young men knew that they were facing slavery, I tend to think they would have said, hey, mom, you know, let us go cut some grass real quick. You know what I'm saying? Let us go build a house for somebody real quick, and we can pay this thing off real quick. There's two of us. We know we can get twice the return for our labor. We can work something out here.
Right.
But something just tends to, you know, I lean on a little bit that maybe this debt was way beyond their ability to do a quick fix on. And so there was so much abundance. There was so much provision. It was not just enough to take care of the debt, but she was actually able to live on the rest of it. And so it's just a reminder to me, just for us to be able to believe God, get out of our natural minds about what things look like, and begin to start asking God for God's solutions, God words, you know, words of knowledge, instruction from the Holy Spirit, and begin to obey what God has told you to do, and start pouring it out. Start pouring it out. Start losing yourself in the things of God. Oftentimes we get so sidetracked and thinking about our own personal needs while the house of God is neglected, while the things of God are neglected. And it's like, maybe your house isn't the way it is because you've neglected the house of God. You know, maybe those things have to go. Maybe you have just too much. But whatever the situation is, You want to err with putting God first. You want to err taking care of God's stuff more than taking care of your stuff, and doing what He has instructed you to do. And so I just look at this woman and I stay just, you know, encouraged and overwhelmed with her commitment to saying, you know what, I'm just going to trust the Lord. Because she understood that, too, that provision, all provision comes from God. That's one of the things that we have to understand, that provision doesn't just come from your hands. He's the one that has enabled your hands to work. He's given you the ability to think. Deuteronomy says to gather wealth. Listen, if God doesn't hold you together, I mean, our bodies are so fragile. You may not be able to get out of bed and go to work. You know, I knew someone who worked at, did some speaking, and he had Bell's palsy. Bell's palsy is something that happens, it happened other places, but I'm aware of it. It happens in your face when you're partially paralyzed, and he couldn't even open his mouth. He could, it's like half of his face was paralyzed. Mm-hmm. He was a speaker.
Oh, wow.
And this man was used to traveling all across the country. So I supported his family, and just one day, just like that, couldn't even open his mouth.
Wow.
Couldn't even open his mouth. God healed him. God healed him, and he's doing it. But it just goes to show you that life is just so fragile, and it's better just to say, God, okay, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
I can believe you to cancel some debt. I can believe you to do anything, but it's not going to happen not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit.
Amen.
And by obeying the word of the Lord. And get involved. You know, start pouring out the oil. Start pouring out what God has poured into you. And watch and see the miracle take place. Listen, as long as she kept pouring, the oil continued to flow. Don't stop pouring. And don't just gather a few jars.
As many as you can.
Gather as many as you can. So we'll believe with you. You believe with us. Debt canceling. God, he can do it. There's nothing that he can't do. And if he did it for the widow, why would he not do it for you?
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.